Please open your Bible in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 17. And let us, I know it's quite a long verse, but let's read it, the whole chapter. Chapter 17. Are you older? Okay. Lord, open now our minds and our hearts, that we might behold the wondrous truths out of thy law. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is the eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and thou have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, O Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for this alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast sent, thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and this have known, that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the very word of the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only for the chosen 12 apostles, but for those who are yet to be saved as a result of their faithful proclamation of the gospel of the saving grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that prayer as well, we are included. As a result of that prayer, including those who will respond to the gospel according to their witness. So praise God. The previous chapters before this, chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, records the words of our Lord Jesus to his disciples, the night of the Passover, on Thursday night of the Passion Week, the night before his crucifixion. That night, he spent hours upon hours with his disciples. First, the Passover meal, and then Judas was dismissed because of his treason. He instituted the Lord's Supper at that point. He continued to teach them. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as the Lord Jesus and his disciples left the upper room, they walk to the city of Jerusalem. As they are walking, he continues his instruction to them, full of promises, full of pledge, and full of warnings, and full of threats. He tells them that he is living, he will die, he will rise again, and he will go back to the Father. He is promising them everything they will ever need in living in his presence and proclaiming faithfully the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. All resources of heaven will be at their disposal through prayer. All resources of heaven is available not only to them, but to us who have been saved as a result of their faithful witness, and down through the ages, the faithful witness of those who preach the gospel to us. Prayer is very important. That's why this prayer is recorded for our benefit. I read it every word because we cannot miss it. If we will miss the other part of it, it is incomplete. That's why this prayer should actually encourage us in the way the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. They will know the truth, the apostles, because he will send the Holy Spirit who will bring them truth. And those who will respond to their proclamation of the truth will know the truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And those particularly who will respond to that gospel of that saving grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is not only taught his disciples at the few hours before his death, but he also prayed for them. He knew they would forsake him. He knows in advance who will forsake him that very night, and that Peter will deny him. And yet, he was so kind and generous in the way he referred to these men who were so frail in verse 6 to 8. As soon as they had said unto them, I am he. Oh, wait a minute. I am reading the in chapter 17. In verse 6 to 8, it says, I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from them, from thee, and they have believed that thou didst sent me. This is an indication that the Lord Jesus knows they are very frail. Jesus prayed for them that the Father would fulfill all the promises he has made to them, that the Father would bring to fulfillment all the works that he has done in behalf not only for them and for the believers at that time, but to us as well. This is a prayer that is remarkable because it demonstrates the humiliation of Christ in a unique way for our behalf. He is, after all, the God who made everything that is made, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is God who upholds the entire universe by the word of his power, according to Hebrews chapter 1. He is God who will come to reign and establish his rule in the earth, and then in the new heaven and the new earth forever. He is God of very God. He is the creator, the sustainer, the consummator of the whole universe. This chapter has been called the Holy of Holies of Scripture. It is the most elevated and most glory-filled chapter in the Bible. It is, of course, the prayer above all prayers, but it is also the chapter above all chapter of the whole Bible, because it is alone where we see the communion between the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father. Here we see our great high priest. This is his mediatorial work as the mediator between God and man. He is the atonement for our sin. He is the sacrifice for our sin. He is the propitiation for our sin. In other words, that the wrath of God through his death might be lifted up against us and experience and absorb all those pain on that cross, the humiliation that goes along with it, and the precious blood that came out of his body for the forgiveness of our sin. This thing we cannot do for ourselves. He did it for us, that we might be restored back unto God. This prayer belongs to us as a gift from heaven, so that we now know the content, the parts of that prayer that moves our heart as a result of feeling the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ for his disciples, for the believers at that time and down through the ages, including us. We must feel, we must review reading this prayer. It is only the way in which we can actually feel the communion of the Son of God and the Father for his disciples, for his glory first, for his disciples and the future generation of believers that includes us. So this is the most holy communion that we can commune with the Son of God and the Father in feeling every throbs of the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he started by praying for all people throughout the history of this world. He starts praying for his own glory, and he prays for the glory of his own people. That includes us. It is a prayer for glory. It is a prayer that the Father would bring him to glory and bring the disciples to glory and bring all of us to glory. What a marvelous word. When we pray and reading the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, we must sense that glory. We are not here just for the sake of physical sitting on your pews, but God's presence is in this place. Do you observe that? Do you feel that? God is everywhere. That's why the God whom we serve is a God who revealed himself in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his prayer actually draws us to him and to the Heavenly Father. And the power of the Holy Spirit that should remind us about this prayer. It is this intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ that is the reason why nothing will ever separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. We will continue to observe in this prayer, please join me, that the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed for them, that the Father, in verse 11, would preserve them. Look at that, back in verse 11 of chapter 17. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. These are the apostles. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Keep thou through your name those whom you have given me. That's a prayer of unity, that we will be all one together in the love of Christ. And knowing that his suffering, his crucifixion, healed all our sin. Remember that. That in this prayer, he has not yet suffered on the cross, but he is anticipating that death on the cross. The painful, the most sorrowful experience of being left alone by his Father to fulfill that which the Father has committed unto him to die for our sin. Can you imagine the impending death that is about to experience several hours from this prayer? He will be arrested for preaching the gospel, for being called the Son of God, the King of Kings. There's nothing wrong in this, titles. He came to fulfill all of them. And yet, the Emperor of Rome, to the Romans, leaders in Jerusalem, captured him and surrendered himself to their hands, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And also, he knows that there will be a sense of defeat in their hearts because they will see that he will be arrested. And what that effect, impact in their minds that their Lord will be taken away from him and he will be put to prison. Can you imagine that your leader, your Lord will be taken away from you? But praise God, he instructed them. He made known in advance what is going to happen unto him so that they will not be surprised. They will be not left alone when he's gone, while he's suffering. So, despite this defeat, sense of defeat and hopelessness and discouragement, God kept them and gave them hope. And he will preserve us as well as he preserved them. And then, the prayer of sanctification in verse 17 to 19. Look at it with me, please. The prayer of sanctification in verse 17 to 19. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And thou as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, in verse 19, I sanctify myself so that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The Word of God. The Bible is the truth. We will be sanctified by this. The process of sanctification is going on at this moment. Would you allow him? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. What is the word sanctify, by the way? Let's be serious on this, on the meaning of sanctification. It means separation. That means he set apart the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father set apart the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other man except the man came from heaven, sent by God. God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sin. And this testimony, he sanctified himself. In other words, he is fulfilling now to be set apart by the Father for this great sacrifice, this impending death, this crucifixion is about to endure for your sake and my sake. And for the rest of the world who will believe in him as their Lord and Savior. And those who are yet to be saved, even though they are hardening their hearts. The Father had given the disciples to the Son of God out of the world. And now the world hated them, according to verse 14. I have given them by thy word, and the world hath hated them. And because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Believers, fellow believers in the Lord, although we live in this world, but we don't belong in this world anymore. We are a citizen of the United Kingdom, but our permanent citizenship is in heaven. Isn't that a source of joy and delight if we are a follower of Christ right now? If you are still out of his grace, who are yet to be saved, this can be your opportunity as well to be a citizen of heaven. What a mighty God we have. So being set apart to God, the Lord Jesus Christ, means being separated from all that the world might have been attracted to his desire, but he didn't. He suffered a lot of persecution and temptation. He did not even answer back. He could have actually called his angels to stop these persecutors, to stop this Pontius Pilate. But he didn't. He never thought of hitting back, revenging back. He never thought of that. He just kept silent and fulfilled the model is setting for his disciples. He came to die for our sin. And he must submit to his Father's will to complete this great sacrifice, so that sanctification cannot be separated from the truth and God's word. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ did not even bother to defend himself, because he wanted to fulfill this great sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sin. That's why he need to live the truth. Then the truth has set us free. The truth that is the Savior of the world. He was crucified for our sin and he rose again, that we might have hope to be risen again as well from the dead. That's our great hope. However, we dishonor God in our response to him, in loving us, if we are not concerned for the truth that's revealed in his word. If we are sitting here just to listen for the information, as the world receives his word, as if it's just a piece of information. But this word can change us. This is the word of God. This is the word of truth that can change our lives. Jesus set himself apart to die on that cross, so that we might be sanctified holy people, pleasing unto him. And as followers of Jesus, we are not of this world, but that he sent us to live in the world to be witnesses for him. Are we witnessing for him? If you feel it's late, God can still revive our commitment to serve him and to be faithful witness unto him. We are also continually being pressured by the world, even though we are Christians. That's why we are not of this world, but we are in this world. We are still living in this world. So we are continually being prayed over by our high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we don't see him now with his physical presence, he's praying for us. He sent his mighty Holy Spirit to remind us of his presence and his word that we just read, the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. So even as we get out from this place a few minutes from now, the world will continue to attack us and forget the things that we receive from his word, to be pressured continually on and on by the power of this world, to be worldly in the way we are thinking, and to follow the attitude of many simple practices in this world if we are not careful, and to live for pleasure and material things. These are the temptations outside of Christ. We must always remember that our culture, the things that the world values, popularity, thick pocket, thick bank accounts, brand new car, and to some others, brand new wives. Brand new position. These are the temptations that is confronting us as his people. Our culture is shaped by godless people. The things that the fashion and what is popular, what is fashionable, this is what matters. And if we are not careful as Christians, we will follow the world's fashion. Many people, they scorn and hate the Bible that we believe. And sometimes there are believers in a big company that works with those unbelievers, that they cannot even open their mouths about the truths and the values that they embrace. It's so easy to be tempted and go with a crowd in this time of season and the rest of the year. It is our reasonable service to present our bodies as a living sacrifice so that our thoughts and actions are directed by the Word of God. Let's continue to remember that challenge in Romans 12. It says in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Moreover, we must not be like the world to win the world to Christ. We shall not be acting with the world in order to convince the world. The church is most victorious in the world when it is preserving the word of truth, which enables them to be separated from the world. This is a must in our day for every believer in the Lord. We must always pray for victorious living, that we will be separated from this world. While we are in this world, we should be committed to live for Him. And finally, Jesus prayed for the future believers as well as for His disciples. And you are included in this prayer if you are a Christian. In verse 20, look at verse 20 quickly. Neither pray I for this alone, for this 12 alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So the future believers, that includes us. So the Lord Jesus is here praying in verse 20 for the unity of believers who are in Christ, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also might be one in us, in verse 21. Unity must never be at the expense of truth, and we must contend earnestly for the truth which was once for all delivered to the saints in Jude 3. The intense love of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ for the church is shown in this prayer. The love of the Father is so great that He loved us as He loved the Son. In verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. He loved us so much, dearly beloved, that He gave His Son to die for our sin. Now the question that we might ask ourselves this morning is, does this prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ fill your heart with great gratitude and praise? Does the Lord Jesus love us? According to this prayer, He loves us and greatly desires that we will be with Him in heaven when we will gaze on His glory in verse 24. Father, I will that they will also, that they also whom Thou hast given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me. For Thou will lovest me before the foundations of the world. So, in final conclusion, we can look forward to receiving a wonderful welcome when we leave this world. Heaven will bring many joys, and these joys are freedom from sin, no more sinning, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. But the best of all, we shall see Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, and be overwhelmed with His majesty and beauty. And we shall adore Him and worship Him as never before. I pray that this prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, which revealed many precious promises and truths for our behalf, will actually continue to worship Him and to live for Him and to serve Him. Amen. We'll sing now our last hymn, 561. rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and grave. Weep over